Judges 13 is a passage. Of course, we all know the story of Samson. We hear many messages about Samson and talking about his life and that, but not very often do we look at his birth, and that's what I want to concentrate on this morning and let God speak to our hearts. It's an interesting story. We'll go through it here in just a second. The title of the message this morning is, "It Isn't Finished Till It Is." Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today and give us what we need from your word. Thank you, God, for that amazing grace. And God, you're so good to us. Thank you that we can gather like this and we can hear your word. I pray that it will work in our hearts now. It'll become alive to us, that we'll not just hear the facts, but God, that our lives will be changed because of the word of God today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, this story is kind of tucked away here in the book of Judges, and a story we don't hear a lot about the birth of Samson. And last Sunday morning, I preached about the Shunammite woman and a miraculous birth. Again, a woman in her later years who was barren until God miraculously provided a child. Of course, Abraham and Sarah the same way. And God miraculously provides a child here in verse 2 of Judges 13. It says, "There was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not." And so again, we see a miracle and of a birth that's going to take place, and a miraculous birth. And the angel comes to Manoah's wife, and verse 3, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing." Notice what he says, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." And again, you can imagine that she was amazed at hearing this. Of course, she was thrilled at finding out that she's going to give birth to a son. And so she's excited. Naturally, she's excited about this. Of course, there are conditions that are put on her, but she's very excited. But you'll notice again that the angel came to her. And so Manoah, her husband, does not know about this. He's not heard it. And so she goes and tells her husband about it. And so he's excited about it. But he asks God to send the man again. He doesn't know yet that this is an angel. And he asks God to send somebody again to tell him. He wants to hear this from this man. He wants to hear it for himself. And so God sends the angel again. But he sends the angel to Manoah's wife, and Manoah is not with her again. And so it's interesting as you read the passage there, how that, God answers Manoah's prayer and sends the angel to Manoah's wife again, but Manoah's not there. It says in verse 10, "The woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man." It's interesting, she didn't bring the man to him. But anyway, and so they go back now to where this angel is, and said unto him, "Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman?" And he said, "I am." And again, remember, Manoah does not know this is an angel. He just thinks that he's a man, and probably thinks he's a man of God. And so so Manoah carries on a conversation with this angel, and he asks him some different questions. He says, verse 12, Manoah said, "Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him?" He wants to know how to rear the child and how, what they're supposed to do and everything. The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, "Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware." And again, he goes over the qualifications. "She may not eat of anything that cometh out of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe." And so he asks all these different questions, and still he does not know this is an angel of God. He thinks this is a man of God. And by the way, he finds out It becomes obvious it's not a man of God, it's not a preacher, because obviously in the scripture, verse 16, he says, "I will not eat of thy bread." I mean, every preachers eat anything. I mean, they'll eat. So we know this is not a preacher. We know he's got to be an angel. But anyway, so Manoah is all excited. He, you know, they're going to have a baby. They're going to have a baby boy, and he and his wife are excited. And he does ask the question about could we give you something to eat? Could we give you a meal? And the angel says, you know, you can't even do that. You can't offer me a sacrifice or anything. You need to do that to the Lord. And so they do. Verse 19, so Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, and he offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. The angel did wondrously. Manoah and his wife looked on, and so they offer this burnt offering and the meat offering. But it's very interesting. It says in verse 20, it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, or from off the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. Now, you know, they got to know this is not just some common, ordinary man. So the angel goes up right with the flame, and it startles Manoah and his wife. And it says that verse 20, it says, they fell on their faces to the ground, but the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew he was an angel of the Lord, but notice what it causes Manoah to say in verse 22. Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die, because we've seen God." I mean, in other words, Manoah says, you know, it's over. We're going to die. But I love what his wife says. She's watching all this. She's paying attention to all this. By the way, fellas, it's good to have a good wife. Amen. They'll help us so many times if we'll just listen to them. And Manoah, you know, oh, we've seen God. We're going to die. And she observes just a wonderful truth in verse 23. And I hope you get it this morning. But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these." Now, do not get lost here in the beginning, all right? I want you to get this today. She gives him three reasons why, hey, we're not going to die here. We're not going to die. God has something he's going to do. You know, Manoah says, that was an angel. That was God. We're going to die. We've seen the Lord. She says, no, we're not going to die. And she gives three reasons why they weren't going to die. And that, therein lies my title, "It Isn't Finished Till It Is." He said, it's over. It's done. We've seen God. She said, no, it's not over. It's not done. In fact, what she's saying is, it's just begun. It's just begun. You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." I submit to you this morning, he could not have died till it was finished. He was not going to die until it was finished. I love the fact that God records for us to see, it is finished. There is no question about it, no doubt about it. When it's finished, that's when it's finished, and it will not be finished at any other time until it actually is finished. And Jesus says before he dies on the cross, it's finished. In other words, now it's all over. Now listen to me. Until God says it's finished, it's just starting. Until God says it's done, it's just begun. It's not finished until it is finished. And that's why she gives three reasons to Manoah. If it was finished, number one, God would not have received their sacrifice. Stay with me now. If it's finished, she said, God wouldn't have received our sacrifice. I mean, if this is all there is to it, God would have just killed us then. But God received our sacrifice. You notice as you look at the sacrifice, Manoah and his wife, I mean, they had to place their hands on the head of that offering and confess their sins. And God accepted that. Are you listening? If he had not accepted it, the flame could have come right out of that offering and killed them like that, just like that. God accepted their offering, though. Nadab and Abihu, you know, they offered strange fire, the Bible says, and that fire came out and killed them instantly, but that didn't happen to Manoah and his wife. She's saying, if God If we were finished and he was finished with us, God would never have accepted our sacrifice. God would have just killed us right then and there. You see, God accepted it, therefore, in her eyes, and it ought to be in our eyes, that's just the beginning. Let me just say, that offering that they made there was a picture of salvation. And let me submit something to you, Christian. You know, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, a lot of times people say, oh, well, everything's over. It's actually just starting. You know, well, I've trusted Christ. That's all I need to do. You're just getting started. We have this idea somehow that salvation is simply the beginner, that salvation is the end when salvation really is the beginning. Salvation is not just fire insurance. Amen? Now, it is fire insurance. Thank God. I mean, it's going to keep us out of hell. Glory to God. It's going to get us to heaven. But there is something God has for us. That's why it's not finished. That's why there's more once you get saved. Look at Ephesians 2. And we read this all the time. Keep your place there in Judges. But look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And verses that we quote all the time, but I'm sad to say, many times we leave out verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But now keep reading. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are his workmanship. God's working on us. God's got a work to do with us. Salvation is not the end. Salvation is the beginning. If God, look, if God were going to just end it right there, then he certainly could do that, but it's just the beginning for us. You know, it breaks my heart that we have this attitude that, well, I'm saved. That's enough. It's not enough. God has a plan for your life. Look at Philippians 1, verse 6. Love this verse. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." We somehow think God saved us only to keep us out of hell. Now, it does keep us out of hell, but God saved you because God has something for you to do. God saved us because he has a plan for our lives that starts with salvation. Amen. And you know what? God says, "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it." God's going to finish the work. I mean, Manoah's thinking, you know, it makes a little bit of sense, I suppose, that, well, we've seen God, we're surely going to die. But his wife figured out, wait a minute, if we were going to die, he wouldn't have accepted our offering. If that was all there was, he wouldn't have even accepted that. I'm saying, folks, God saved you because God has a purpose for your life. And salvation is not the end. Salvation is the beginning of that purpose. Amen. God has more. Manoah's wife said, "God's not going to accept our offering and not use us. God wouldn't accept that offering and not have a plan for us. God would not have accepted our offering and not have a little boy for us and a plan for that little boy and something for that little boy to do." God has more than salvation. He's got something else way beyond our trusting Christ as our Savior. Now, you need to trust Christ. And if you're not saved today, that's your first step. But if you are saved and you have this idea, well, I've done all I can, that's just the beginning. You're just starting off in a wonderful life when you get saved. It isn't finished until it is. You know, well, I'm saved, I'm glad that's taken care of, but God wants you to get baptized next. Next step is baptism. You know, we get baptized because we want to let others know that we've been saved. Baptism is the method God chose so that we could, our way of letting people know that we have trusted Christ as our Savior. It's like I explained to people, it's like wearing this ring. This ring lets people know that I'm married. Baptism lets people know I'm saved. It's like a military man wearing a uniform. The uniform lets people know what a branch of the military he's in and lets them know what rank he is. It tells them something. Getting baptized tells people that I've trusted Christ and I've decided to follow Jesus, and that's why we get baptized. But some of you haven't gotten baptized since you got saved. And you have the same attitude as Manoah. I guess that's it. I can die now. No, look, have you ever wondered why we didn't get saved and just God take us right then? In other words, you pray, ask Jesus in your heart, and then you die and go to heaven. It's because God has something for you to do. God has more than taking you to heaven. That's a wonderful thing. And I love the song, Amazing Grace. It is amazing that we can go to heaven. But God's not done. He wants us to get baptized. He wants us to go to church. Amen. And be faithful to church. He wants you to be in church and hear the word of God and grow. He wants us to, by the way, grow. That's important. We need to grow in the Lord. We're his workmanship. He's working on us. Some, it's sad to say, it's like, boy, there just hadn't been any work in a long time. Well, it's not because God doesn't want to work. It's because we're not listening to what God's telling us. It's because we're not responding to God who's trying to make us what he wants us to be. There's more than salvation. And there's serving. You know, we're not saved just to sit and soak. We're saved to do something. We're saved to work for him. We're saved to do good works for him. Hey, this morning, let me ask you, did God save you? Did God save you? Okay, if you're saved, move forward. You know, as a writer of Hebrews, let us go on. Let us go on. God has more for us. Let's get out of the mindset of Manoah. Okay, that's all done. I'm saved. I can die. You know how depressing that would be? To not have a purpose? To not realize that God has more for us. God wants to finish what he started with you. Salvation, just the beginning. It's just the beginning. You know, I often think about Noah's Ark when I think about Christian growth. And Noah's Ark is a good picture of salvation and how Noah and his family were all spared from the flood. And they're on that ark with all those animals and everything, you know, that's going on, and the world is destroyed by the flood. And finally the day comes and God says, okay, Noah, get off the ark. Get off the ark. You know, it's time. You say, well, that seems like it just would make sense that you would do that. And it seems like it would make sense that someone who's born again would start living that new life that God's given them. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How about living that new life? We're so rooted to the old life, we have a tough time sometimes getting started in the new life, but it all starts at salvation. You get baptized, you start being faithful to church, you read your Bible, you spend time in prayer, you let God speak to your heart. No, you ask God to speak to your heart, and you grow. And you get off the ark, amen? And you get out and you get busy for God. Again, did God save you? Well, move forward. Did he give you eternal life? He's still working on you. You know, that eternal life that he gave us, he's given us more and more things all the time if we will just accept those things. So many Christians are like Manoah. Well, I'm saved. That's enough. It's not enough. God has a plan for your life. God wants to finish the work in our lives, and he will finish. Amen. And when he finishes, then it's finished. Not until. We have no right to say that's enough. We have no right as human beings to say, okay, God, that's it. I don't need to grow anymore. I've reached a certain level. No, look, we should be growing until we die. Amen. We should be growing in the Lord. We should be growing closer to our God until death takes us away. Then it's finished. Manoah said, that was an angel of God. Or that's God. He wasn't real sure, but he said, we're going to die. She said, no. She said, we're not going to die. Because if it was finished, God would not have received our sacrifice. Number two, she says this. She says, if it were finished, God wouldn't have shown us all these things. Stay with me now. Look what she says. His wife said unto him, verse 20, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he wouldn't have received a burnt offering and a meat offering in our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things. If it were finished, she says, Manoah, God wouldn't have shown us all these things. She's pretty smart, isn't she? I mean, she really is. She's pretty smart. God has a plan. Now look, in this, he sent the angel twice to try to get it into Manoah's head. Here's what's going to happen. I mean, at Manoah's request of God, God, please send him back. I want to hear it myself. And God did all of that. Sent the angel twice. I mean, it should be obvious to Manoah, God's not finished. He's just starting something. Hey, he said, you're going to have a boy. Well, I can't have a boy and die now. I got to have the boy. She's pretty smart. Noah says, we're going to die. No, she said, if we're going to die, God wouldn't have shown us all these things. If this is it, God wouldn't have shown us all these things. You see, it's not finished till it is. And obviously, you're here. And God's shown you a lot of things. It amazes me how many people have this attitude. Well, you know, God's done with me. When he's done with you, your heart won't beat. Okay, now you can do the test. We do it every now and then in church where you reach up and check and see if it's still beating. You can check your heart. You can reach over here and check your pulse. Sometimes hard to find that thing. You can get into your neck and find that thing, you know. Yep, there it is. I'm alive. Amen. See, here's the thing. Things are just beginning. Now again, things God's showing us are just beginning. Do you know you are here this morning on purpose? You thought it was your idea. It was his. Amen. I figured it all out that I would come to church. Yeah, but God has a purpose for you being in church. He's got some things. He's going to show you some things from his word. He wants to teach you some things. And those very things, the fact that he's showing you those things, he's got something for you to do. Amen. It's not finished. It's just starting. That's what his wife's saying. She said, wait a minute. We can't die. God's not going to kill us. He accepted our sacrifice. God's not going to kill us. Hey, he's shown us some things. He sent that angel twice. That angel went up in a fire. Hey, he's showing us. He's God. He's got something for us. Amen. You're here this morning on purpose to hear what you need to hear. You say, oh, no. You say, I had that all. Okay, why didn't you get in a wreck on your way here? You weren't killed. Huh? You weren't sick this morning. Here you are. God has a purpose. Amen. I mean, if you're here and you're not saved, thank God you came to church. You have an opportunity to get saved. You could die on your way home. But here you are. And you're hearing how Jesus loves you and how Jesus died on the cross. You heard a beautiful song about God's amazing grace and how God loves you enough to provide a way so you could be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here and you're not saved today, you do not know for sure you're going to heaven. What a blessing. You can find out. You can call on Jesus today and trust him as Savior. And I submit to you, God brought you here so you could hear that. Isn't that good? These things that God's shown us, these things that God told us and taught us, those things, she said, you know what, if it were over, if it were finished, God wouldn't have shown us those things. He wouldn't have done it. You know, I think about our graduates. We had a wonderful graduation Friday night. And I think about a graduate, you know, 12 years plus kindergarten for many of them, 12 years plus kindergarten, and there's a reason for all that. There's a reason, huh? You say, well, I graduated from high school. Guess that's it. That's just the beginning. Well, I graduated from college. Guess that's it. That's just the start. Yeah, I know the tendency. You cross the platform. You get that diploma and say, boy, I'm glad that's over with. I don't have to do anything else again. Well, you'll starve. Now, see, we all understand that illustration, but we cannot get it in our minds that God has more for us to do either. To whom much is given, much shall be required. You know what? He just gave you another day, because here you are. Amen. It's not finished. You sit here this morning and you say, preacher, do you know how old I am? You know what? It doesn't matter. You are still here. And God's not done with you. God has something for you. I mean, here's someone that was in the military, and you made it through. Don't you think about that? God showed you some things. Most importantly, God kept you alive. Huh? You were in a car wreck, and you lived through that. Can't you understand that God wasn't done with you? God had a plan for your life. You had major surgery, and you made it. Huh? I was born in 1958. You don't have to do the math. Somebody reminds me of it every week. I still am getting little 50s in my office. But born in 1958 with Hyland's membrane. It's a disease that many, especially preemies, are born with, and my mom had some health problems when I was born, and so I was born with Hyaline's membrane. Capillaries are not formed in the lungs, and little babies can't breathe, and so immediately I went into an incubator, and the doctor said, we give him 72 hours. Probably he will die within 72 hours, but he may live. And of course, the junior high blondes are all saying, "What happened?" Anyway, my mom often told me the story, and my parents were not saved. She often told me the story and compared me with John F. Kennedy and John F. Kennedy's wife. They had a baby boy about 5 years later, a little boy named Patrick Kennedy. Same disease, same, everything was exactly the same, but that little boy died. And mom used to talk to me about that and tell me how special I was. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't think that I had better doctors than John F. Kennedy's little boy. In fact, that little boy was born 5 years later. Medical technology had improved, I'm sure, much, much more. It had nothing to do with doctors. It had nothing to do with the hospital. It had nothing to do with any of that. It has everything to do with God had something for me to do. Amen. Many babies in the 50s and 60s, the 40s, 50s, many babies died of Hyaline's membrane. But thank God, I look back at that, and that's one of the things. Why can't you look at the disease you had and the surgery you had, the wreck you had, the military service, the close calls, all of those things. Look at those things. That's what Manoah's wife is saying here. She's saying, hey, God would not have shown us these things. He wouldn't have taught us these things. We wouldn't know these things if it was all over. Boy, what a special thing to be alive and to be able to serve God. I've told the story many times of the modular we were trying to move back in Bern, Indiana, and we had a half of a modular. We moved one half in, and we're moving in the second half, and we had to join them together, and basically we had to block it up, and I mean we're talking I don't know how many tons, maybe 20 tons, and you had to block that up, and then we blocked it up so we got it on some rails, and we literally had to slide that thing into a place, and so we were blocking it up, and then you kick a block out and put another one in, and we just kept doing that, and we got very careless one time, and I remember being under that modular with one of my deacons and my school administrator, and I can still in my mind see the deacon kicking that block and watching the jack fall. And to this day, honestly, I have no idea how we got out from under that modular. We should have been killed. And you say, well, preacher, that's, you know, you sure are lucky. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. God has something for me to do. And until it's finished, I need to be doing it. You need to be doing it too. Everybody in this room has stories like I just told. And you say, oh boy, knock on wood. That isn't going to do you any good. You know what you need to do? You need to say, oh God, help me do what you want me to do. That's exactly what Manoah's wife is saying. She's saying, God wouldn't have shown us all these things. You know, some of you, you've been in this church all your life. God's shown you some amazing things. He has a reason for showing you those things. You've retired. You've gotten out of serving God. You've gotten away from doing what you can do. It breaks my heart. I look at a nursery sign-up sheet, and I think about all the folks that could. You've raised children. You've helped in the nursery. Well, I'm getting too old for that. No, listen, you're never too old to sit and hold a little baby and sing songs to them. You're never too old to sit and hold a little baby and read scripture to them. You're never too old to be able to help out and work in your church. God has something for you to do. Oh, yeah. Manoah said, well, it's over. She said, it can't be over. God showed us too many things for it to be over. You think about what God did not allow to happen in your life and understand there's a reason why you are still here. Maybe it was a sickness. Maybe it was a trial. And you know what? God took care of you through that thing. Maybe God allowed you to go through it so you could help somebody else who's going through it. I know that's true in my life with certain things. I know that's true. I know as somebody will sit across from me and they'll talk about their parents' divorce, I know that that's why God let me keep going and do what I do, because I can understand how they feel. Because my parents went through a divorce and I was young when they did. And I understand what they're talking about. You know, maybe that's why you're still here. But don't retire. Don't say, well, I just can't work in the church. Turn the dumb television off and get busy doing something that God wants you to do. How pitiful it would be that we just ended it all, started watching TV for the rest of our lives till we die, and God had more for us to do. Amen. This church was born out of World War II. And the people wanted to have a church that would go all out for Jesus Christ. You know what? It's not finished till we quit doing that. That's what we were born to do. That's what Berean Baptist Church was born to do, to go all out. There's not a lot of churches going all out. There's not a whole lot of sacrifice. I can't believe anybody would even whisper the idea, well, fuel prices are going up, we might have to quit running buses. Phooey. I mean, we need to keep going all out. That is our purpose. Think about all that God's shown you for you to use. I think some of you have retired too soon. You say, well, God's finished with me. Oh, really? Well, stick your little fingers right there and check that thing, see if it's still ticking. And I can tell you this, if it is, he's not. It isn't finished till it is. And the last thing, Manoah, he makes a great statement there, I'll tell you. We shall surely die. His wife said, no, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering. Neither would he have showed us all these things. And notice what else she said. Nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. What's she talking about? She's talking about God gave him a promise. What's that? They're going to have a boy. Are you listening? Hey, she said, God's not going to, he's not going to take us. He made us a promise. I think about John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. That's in the beginning. And right at the beginning, they were just words. But now they live. And they have lived. And they continue to live. Those words are life. Now you and I need to let them live. Is God a liar? Then aren't his promises true to us? Hey, they're not just true for us to proclaim them. They're true for us to live them. His promises are for us to accept and believe and to hold on to and to claim for ourselves. I'm convinced that a lot of Christians, we know the promises, we just don't live the promises. Because we have this attitude that, well, it's, you know, I'm too old, or it's over for me, or I've sinned too much. You cannot sin too much for Calvary. You cannot sin too much for the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not possible. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And oh, you might get people mad, and you might get people to kind of watch you out of the corner of their eye, but who cares? God Almighty will use you. And he wants to use you, and he's made promises to you. Believe those promises. Believe what he said. That's Manoah, what is your problem? Are you not able to believe what God said? He said, we're having a boy. And you're saying we're going to die? Come on, Manoah. God's able to finish what he started. You need to believe him. And you know what? Our problem with belief is, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're just not listening to the word of God. The just shall live by faith. That's taking the word of God, and it is our It's our life. You live it. You believe it. It's not just words. It's life. So many today,
I know the Word of God.
You need to understand the Word of God's like food. It gives you energy. And you know, we have a lot of SpongeBob Baptists who just sit and soak up the Word of God and never give out a thing. And pretty soon you can't take any more in. But you never claim those promises. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me.
I'd teach a Sunday school class, but I tried once and I failed.
Get up and go. I can do all things through Christ.
I'd take a bus route, but I think I'd flop at it.
Yeah, I can do all things. You don't believe the Word of God. It's not living. You'll quote it. You'll tell other people about it. You'll sign a graduation card. You know you can do all things through Christ, but you yourself, when's the last time you actually prayed about faith promise giving? I'm talking about where you prayed and you said, God, by faith, what do you want me to give? See, the last time you prayed by faith, what do you want me to give? He put a number on your heart and you said, oh, I can't do that. I wouldn't be able to go to McDonald's every day. And you know what? There went the Word of God. There went the promises of God. How sad. How sad. You know, the Word of God, it gives us energy to do something. Some people, the idea, you know, well, I go to church. That's not the end. I read the Bible. That's not the end. Let the Word of God affect you. Let God finish the work in your life. And He does that with His Word. Let Him finish the work in your life. When's the last time you claimed a promise of God and you saw it happen? You say, well, preacher, I haven't claimed any promises. It's been a long, long time. I'm just getting too old for that. Hogwash. We're never too old for the Word of God. We're never too old to claim the promises of God. How sad. How sad. We're like Manoah. Well, we shall surely die. His wife said, oh, no. If we were going to die, God wouldn't have told us these things. If it were finished, God wouldn't have told us there's going to be a beginning. You know, God's plan is to make His Word live. And I'm convinced many Christians, you know, the sour-faced Christians, His Word's not living in you. You know, the people, they're just always down and discouraged and everything. That's not the Word of God that I'm reading. Not at all. So many like Manoah, in your own heart, your own mind, you've cut short the plan of God for your life. He's got something He wants to do, and He's not finished until He is finished. And I trust that we will do our very best to think about, you know, there are so many Manoah Christians where, you know, we're cutting short. You know, we get saved, okay, that's it. That's not it. That's just the beginning. We come along in life and we say, well, I'm not going to be able to do it. Yeah, but God's shown you all these things for a reason. He's got something for you to do. God's allowed you to go through things. God's let you live through many things. And He's got something for you to do. And boy, do not ignore the Word of God. Make it alive in your life. Claim the promises of God. Step out by faith. The just shall live by faith. Do you know, if everything just made sense, we wouldn't need faith. I look at sign-up sheets and I think, wow, here's an opportunity. Every now and then somebody says, well, we just don't have enough opportunities. Are you kidding me? I just see a lot of blank spaces and I think, these people all over, I mean, Berean Baptist Church and those who are not here even this morning, I mean, He put you here for a reason, and it's not just to breathe. It's not to provide carbon dioxide for the plants. He's got something for us to do. And He's got something for this church to do. Go all out. That's what He wants us to do. How do you go all out, preacher? You have to do it by faith. You go all out by faith. You don't just accidentally do it. You don't stumble over it. You go out all out because you said, you know what? I'm going all out. That's why. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go all out. You know what breaks my heart, and I'll close with this. It's sad that so many have just inherited everything. Hello? You just inherited everything. Inherited padded pews. You've never sat on a metal chair during church. Or on a bench. Or on something that didn't have a back. You just inherited padded pews. Inherited air conditioning. Inherited lights. Inherited all kinds of things. We've inherited buildings. Inherited all those things. It's sad we've not had to put God to the test to put a padded pew in. Many, you kind of grown up, inherited all those kinds of things, and never one time had to just beg God to provide it. Never one time just had to say, oh God, I've got to have your promise. You said you'd do this. I guess one of the best things about Bible college for me was I had to say, God, you said you would. I said it over and over and over and over. And you know what? I used to think, I bet God's getting tired of this. But he wasn't, because he proved himself over and over. He said it, he'll do it. And you know what? Till he's finished and I'm gone, I'm going to just keep claiming his promise. I'm going to keep using the things he's taught me. And I'm going to go forth and forward with the salvation that he provided for me. Let's bow our heads.